Hey, buddy.
They're already coming forward. This is great.
Just the right dream for the deer. Oh, my goodness. It's awesome.
All right, so how y'all doing?
Great.
Yeah?
That's good. My thing wants to shut down, so I don't know what to do about that. Learn technology. We'll leave it. All right. I want to do something just a little bit different. I said to the worship team, we may do some interactive if we're really small this morning, but let's do it anyhow. So it's nice to have you all here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, glad to have you. This is an interesting time of year. I will mention that some of us do different traditions than New Year's, right? And some of it gets messy. Just put that out there, it does. However, we can choose to make it something for God. We can do that. And there are a variety of ways of doing it. I'm going to give you an option of one, but that one is not the only way. It's just an option. There is a group of people, a very small group of people, that meet here on New Year's Eve, and they've done it every year. They meet here at 10:30, and then just pray in the New Year. And if any of you want to do that, that's fine. You're welcome to do that. But the thing is, we all have opportunity to do something significant at New Year's. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy your friends, you can't enjoy your parties. You certainly can. But please, allow God to be the center of it. I don't know if you found this, but as we try to sort of bring life together and figure out how to live life as a Christian, if you're in a relationship with Jesus, we struggle sometimes with putting Christ at the center, right? And we've talked about that quite a bit in the spring last year. And Pastor Kyle even wrote a book on it, which if you haven't read it, grab that book. It's awesome, actually. And it reminds us of the importance of putting Christ at the center. But often we just kind of have, like everything else in our life, we just let Jesus be an add-on. But let's not let Jesus be that add-on this year. Let's let him be the center. Because it'll clarify a lot of things in your life. It, in fact, as the scriptures say in Proverbs, it will make your path straight. It'll save you some time. It'll direct you in the ways that God will give life to you. So I'm going to read the passage this morning that I'm going to look at, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dive into it. And don't worry, little guys, we'll be done real soon. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to invite you again to be with us and speak to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In our worship song, let's do a little interactive, that way these guys can join us. it talks about, I'm a child of God, and we proclaimed a truth. Did you know that when you do that, you're actually battling, and God is battling for you? You're simply proclaiming what the scriptures have already told us in the word, that you are a child of God. So I'm curious, if you were to go through in your memory banks, or even if you want to open your Bible, what are the truths that God says about us? Just speak it out. Truths that he shared about us that we know are true according to the Bible, but we tend to fall back. What are they?
I am his and he is mine.
I am his and he is mine. Thanks.
We are a chosen priesthood.
We are a chosen priesthood.
You are loved.
You are loved.
We are a peculiar people.
No. Thank you.
King James.
King James. Translation? No. I don't want to give a pastor an opportunity to translate. All right, carry on, sorry. That's my friend. I can do that. Anything else?
No.
Are we finished? I'm hoping she would say no again. Didn't work. Sometimes you think it will. So I want to remind you as we go into the new year, get those things in your head. Didn't Paul say in Philippians, get the good, pure, and great thought, the right thoughts in your head? Get those thoughts in your head. And I noticed some people when they were singing that song were like very intent. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. That's spiritual warfare. We need to do that. And our mind starts to be able to change too. Here's the scripture verse. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2 of Romans 12 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Good morning. So cute. You wonder why we would even need transformation of our minds and all that when we're so pure and innocent as we're young. Who's the parent, by the way? I'm sure you could tell us whether or not she's pure or innocent, right? She is. No, don't worry. It's okay. I actually liked it. If she would just sit with me for the morning, that would be even better. Okay. Yeah. Romans 12 kind of comes sort of as a, you notice it says therefore? So it comes after all sorts of stuff that Paul has said to people about what God has done for us. Some life-changing, transformational things. That God has done the work, and it's not up to us. It's done by faith. He just does it for us. And so after all of that, because of what, I know, it's okay. Because of all these things, trust me, it's fine. Because of all these things that God has done, therefore, Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, I urge you to offer yourself, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, which would have come as a little shocking, because in that time the sacrifices were brought for them, on behalf of them, and made for them. But now Paul's telling them to be the sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, he makes it clear even in the next verse. He says, your sacrifice is basically not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what our plan will be as we go through transformation is to look at what that means for us. How are we going to be transformed? How does God want to transform us? And I'm going to read a couple more scriptures here, if my laptop turns on. And as I do that, I want to remind you of the truths that God has for us. And once I finish those, we'll basically... Oh, hear that? We're on. Swipe up. Put in my pin. And we're on. Thank you. David, I may need your help in a minute. He's heard that all Christmas. You do that with your kids? A little help? Even last night, I was like, get up here now. What did you do to this system? No, anyway. Interestingly enough, in verse 2 it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only other place where in the Greek Bible this renewing is recorded is in Titus 3, 5 to 6. And when it's referred to in Titus 3, 5 to 6, it's talking about the Holy Spirit renewing us. So, people, apparently we have to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. Now, I know it's a busy day, maybe for you today, or maybe it isn't. But if you need to do some work, do it today. Right? And this may sound kind of, well, how do I can't hold that. I can't apply it. I can't just grab it. Well, actually, yes, you can. And the way you do it is by submitting yourself. You lay down everything. By this time of the year, you should be prepared to do that, I would think, because you're looking back and thinking, what happened? You know, where did it go? And what's it all about? And what's going to happen this coming year? Well, God has a plan for us. He can make us new. But we have to come and we have to submit ourselves to Him, and then the Holy Spirit makes us new. Right? I don't know if you know, but in the other parts of Romans, this letter that Paul wrote, it talked about the fact that Jesus did the work for us. Right? And it's by faith we apply what He's done. And as a matter of fact, when God looks down upon us, all He sees is the work Jesus has done. We look pure, holy, perfect. But there's still a battle going on. That's the confusing part. Again, I was talking with the worship team. I was saying, oh, we're going to talk a little about transformation. But to be honest, I'm a little disappointed with transformation. I want to see a lot more happen this year. I really did. I want to see some big changes happen. And it's usually in other people's lives, right? I look at other people, I want them to change, and then God directs it back at me, and I realize, wow, I could... Okay, yeah, I see that. Well, I need to change. Well, what I want us to do as we look in January is to realize that we can expect transformation. But it's only as we come and submit ourselves as living sacrifices and allow the Holy Spirit to make us new. You can actually ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to make you new. I, for years and years and years, wondered what it would be like to live in this power that God says we have over sin. You ever heard that in the scriptures? Where it talks about power over sin? And I wonder, what power? Where is it? And I was sharing with a friend not long ago, and I'm not going to say much about it other than just to let you know that within the last couple of years, and maybe two and a bit years ago, I had this moment where it was completely the Holy Spirit doing it because I did nothing. But God took something in my heart and softened it and made it His. And I had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you that I didn't even know what happened until one day I realized I was changed. By experience, right? By walking it out, you realize, wow. And so what I speak to you about, I know is true. God will change our hearts. He will transform us. He will make us new. Not by our work, but by the work of the Holy Spirit. And in what time, I can't tell you. But He will do it. It doesn't mean that we're not walking in Christ outside of that. If you are in a relationship with Him, we certainly are. And in faith, we continue to do that. But as we travel on in our journey, there will be a moment where God will give us freedom. Freedoms and freedoms and freedoms. I don't know if you follow Peter's story much, but the Apostle Peter, he was on a journey, right? And he was super, super confident. It seemed to me that, you know, he was the guy that was able to see a lot of fish coming to his boat, and then he fell before Jesus because he realized what a sinner he was. He was the guy that was able to walk on the water with Jesus. Wasn't he the guy that said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God"? He actually proclaimed who Jesus was, the Messiah. He was the guy who cut off the ear when they came to take Jesus so that he would be saved, and he thought he knew what he was doing. He was always very excited, very proud. "I will never deny you. Jesus, you're not going to die. You're going to live forever." On and on and on. He went on and on, and it seemed like he was such a great guy of faith, and yet it was all about him. And then he was completely humbled as he was brought before people and given a chance to be a witness, to testify for Jesus. Don't you love those moments? Boy, I love it when I can testify for Jesus. Well, it's real easy right here, but it's not so easy when you're in the face of death, when you're in the face of something that's overwhelming, when you face anxiety that's taken a hold of you where you're frozen, and then you're asked, "Is Jesus alive?" He's not alive. And Peter had these three opportunities, and Jesus said, "Three times you will deny me," and he did. Three times he said, "I don't know who Jesus is," at the most important point of what was going to happen in history, where Christ was going to die on the cross to take everything for us. Peter denied him. We are of that blood. That's how we live. We are the same. But God, in His mercy, in His mercies, has provided another way. We can now come before Him and offer ourselves. And so Peter did also. How did Jesus do that? Well, Jesus came back to Peter again. And Peter saw Him on a boat and jumped in the water and came out to Jesus. And three times Jesus reinstates Peter and reminds him of who he is. "Now go take care of my people." And each time Peter responded, "I do love you," Jesus, when he asked him, "I love you, I love you, I love you." It was because of the work of the Holy Spirit, not because of Peter. And he needed to offer himself as a living sacrifice and humble himself. And so now Paul comes and he says the same thing to us. He says, "People, here's the key to transformation. It's not in what we can or can't do. It's not in following any rules or regulations. It's actually in discovering that the Holy Spirit wants to change you from the inside out. He does not care what you look like or what you've been through or what you've done. I do, but He doesn't. And I'm sorry to say it, but I do. And I'm letting God take those layers off me so I don't. But I do. And we all do. We all have our sort of visions of what we should look like. Well, God has another way. All right, guys, almost done here, little guys. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." You guys, some of us don't even know we have strongholds. Let God reveal it to you. Ask God to set you free. It says we have weapons that can demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That sounds a little exhausting, doesn't it? Well, that's what we were doing this morning. It's not that exhausting. We did it great as a group, and now take it home and do it there also. and allow other people to be a part of it also. Because don't you get overwhelmed sometimes? Don't you find yourself thinking thoughts that aren't right and that are actually the opposite of what the scripture says? Yes, we do. We very much do. And so we need God to take that and transform us. The mind is quite a key, isn't it, to who we are. It really defies us. It pulls us down, and yet it can also be the key to open up our hearts. Because once we allow the Holy Spirit to transform and make us new in our mind, we start to get conviction in our hearts. And then all of a sudden our bodies start to walk in the way that Christ has called us to. Not because we have the strength, but because God has given it to us. The Holy Spirit renews us. The Holy Spirit sets us free. It is in the Holy Spirit that we find the power to overcome sin. Amen. Amen. And thank God for that. Because who wants to live in sin? Who wants to live there? We do not. We know where it ends up. And yet we still go back to it. It's ridiculous, but we do it. I'm going to read a bit of a long passage here. Ephesians 2, because it's so awesome. It's entitled, Made Alive in Christ. It says here, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Back then. And of the ruler of the air, kingdom of the air, that is, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. And maybe some of you are like that now. You just do whatever you want. Choose whatever you want, because I'm free in Christ. Maybe you've got that idea. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, there it is again, his mercy, he just has mercy on us, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Takes us right where we are, right? Right in our sin, right where we've fallen, in the worst things that we're doing, and he makes us alive, not in us, but in Christ. Made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead to our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Ask God to give you the mind of Christ. Interesting, I don't know if you saw this one part that I was reading or heard it, that he actually raised us up when we were dead in our transgressions. He raised us up to be seated with him. We are sons and daughters. Christ, we're sitting on the throne. Can you get this picture of Jesus who's on the throne? We forget that, right? Maybe that'll help you in your vision of transformation. God is actually in charge of all. He is ruling. He is over all. Now submit ourselves. Give it up. Give yourself as a living sacrifice. We're not just talking about a fake one where you come and you sort of do it. We're talking about a living one. You come actually with your whole self, who you are, and you lay it before Christ. And you become, Christ becomes in you. You discover that you can have the mind of Christ. But as we're going to go through January, you'll start to see that there are disciplines. There are ways that we can help ourselves to continue to walk with the mind of Christ. Don't you want that? We're all talking about maybe New Year's resolutions of not eating as much so that I can be healthier. Maybe exercising a little more so I can be healthier. Maybe practicing yoga so I can get my mindset right. Maybe whatever it is. A variety of things we're going to decide to do so that we can get right. Well, why don't we do that with Christ? Why don't we figure out how we can get disciplined and get ourselves whipped into shape so that we can be prepared to walk in Christ? And we can be prepared to walk in the freedom that he gives to us and discover that the Holy Spirit wants to set you free. Did I tell you that already? The Holy Spirit wants to set you free. You can have power over sin. Did you know that? I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know what's bogging you down, what's keeping you from enjoying your relationship with Jesus, but he can give you power over that. Amen. He can give you power over that. Can you hear me? He gives you power over sins. Let's start the new year like that. Let's discover a God like that. Don't give up. I was so frustrated, as I said earlier. I wanted to see more transformation, not only in my life, but in others. I saw these moments, like I told you, where I felt like God just took away the power of sin. And he's like, oh, wow, he must be so holy. He must be an amazing guy. I am not. I am not. I am so weak. And there are moments when I sit down, even at the end of this year, I say, God, who am I? Why can't I walk in your power? What is wrong with me? Why am I afraid of this and this and this? I think God meets me because it's the Holy Spirit that renews me. And he draws near to me. And again, he sets me free. Don't you want a piece of that? need a piece of that. You need that. Come before him and offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Just a couple more verses, guys. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way. It says to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And then to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We actually can do this, guys. It's kind of like, it seems pretty easy, but actually just saying, I put this off. I mean, we have to choose to do it. We might not want to do it. And you say, well, it does sound easy, but the thing where it becomes tricky is when we enjoy the things that we're in. Or we've accepted them, and it's part of who we are. Or we've given up. We don't have hope anymore. Those kind of things. So then it's not as easy to take it off. So, well, here's the key. Like it said in the scriptures, in Romans 12 and Titus 3, that the Holy Spirit will help you do it. You must be dependent upon God and His Holy Spirit to give you the power to do it. So I'm not talking about the easy things that are easy to put off. I'm not going to steal today. I'm putting that off. If I was somewhere where I could steal, maybe I would, but I'm not going to steal. So I put that off. I'm not going to lie, I think. So I'm going to put that off. I'm not going to be involved in premarital sex. So I'm going to put that off today. That's easy for me. Or I'm not going to, you know, whatever it is that's easy for you, you put it off. But the hard things, we don't even think about them. We don't even think it's impossible. Well, I'm telling you, it is possible. Let's renew our minds and remind ourselves it is Christ who will set us free. As we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, He will renew us. He will renew us, make us new. Happy New Year. It's the kind of renewing you want, right? Happy New Year. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Again, putting off. Old, gone, new, here. You have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed by the Holy Spirit in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you so much for the power in the Holy Spirit. God, we want to walk in that today. We just want to come and say that we are a living sacrifice before you. Take it all, Jesus, because it's not getting me anywhere. And now make me new. Make me new, God. I want to walk in a newness. And for those who don't know you, Jesus, this morning, I just pray you'd speak to them in ways that they can understand. That they would hear that it's possible for them to overcome the things that maybe they're walking through that seem impossible. And it's possible for them to help others as they see others struggle. God, we always hope. But in you, you can renew us. Help us to rise up like eagles on wings like eagles. And to just soar, imagine that, soaring through the sky, even in the worst of moments. To that we give you for all, to that we give thanks to you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.